Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Another fabulous show for you, as you all have seen on the event pages and in the promo worldwide from me, who is like the redheaded night owl. I've given myself a new name. I have promoted this young man all over the planet, and it is so much fun, and I enjoy it because I am like supporting indie artists. I am an artist, as you know, as well, a singer, songwriter, guitar player, record producer, etc. And oh, I won't go on about the host of the radio show because you know I'm doing that. Oh, now I'm a photographer because they said I could put that onto my title. I joined Jersey Shore Photography. But without further ado, and stop me if I talk too fast. Oh, and this is my disclaimer for Mike. Mike, you are the first. Mike is the first guest I've had on my show that I'm going to say, Mike, please interrupt me. This is what they told me when I did an interview in New York. Just start talking. Interrupt him. They told me to interrupt Joey Reynolds. Interrupt him or else you won't get a word in edgewise. So, Mike, interrupt me. So we have the wonderful, wonderful Mike Rocket. I'll be okay. Rocket Wortel, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Wortel?
How do you pronounce it? That's great there. You can
I just
right
call
there.
You Mike Rocket always, and your name is very interesting. What nationality is that, Wortel?
It's a German name, though. Because it's always mispronounced, so Rocket's just easy. You know, Bruno Mars, so Mike Rocket, there we go.
Right. Well, welcome, Mike. I'm so happy to have you on my show. Because as I put in the promo, I've been watching you and seeing you around for about 4 years now. And I remember jumping up on the stage and everyone else jumping up on the stage at Bar A when you did your wonderful song, you know, and I'm looking at the promo right now and where it talks about it. And I'm not there, but it's about getting back to the Jersey Shore. Got to get back to the Jersey Shore. Love, love, love that song.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I wrote that actually, almost ten years ago with Victor Cornetti, great, great guitarist from North Jersey. And, you know, actually there was a DJ down in Philly who said, you know, we need a song just for South Jersey. And so I was like, Victor, let's just come up. We got to do a song for the Jersey Shore. But we decided to do it for the whole Jersey Shore, and because Philadelphia people and New York people are there, the way that they see South Jersey and North Jersey, you know, different perspectives where that line is.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, you're right.
A DJ down in Philly wanted it, I heard from like a classic rock station down there, and so I sent it to them. I don't know if it ever got aired on that station, but. Scott and Todd show, just for the heck of it, I sent it to them at the time, and I think they played it, and I didn't even know they even got it, and someone told me like a couple weeks later, hey, yeah, we heard it on that show, and I was just like, what? Because I don't think anyone else even had a copy, like I did the studio copy and that one or two others. But anyway, yeah, it's just, you know, just as the way it is in this music industry, you know, and so many others do, it's just, you have to be in the right place in the right time, and just you never know what works. But what I try to do sometimes, you know, not to be in the realm of cliches or anything, but just to what I would think would help my chances sometimes would be to just try to have a plan of what might work. And the Jersey Shore song, got to get to the Jersey Shore. Well, it's been since the mid 2000s, but I figure that. That it would have, you know, that somehow it would have been picked up by this point somehow, and you know, at least, you know, every time summer comes around, you know, it's time for the Jersey Shore song or
yeah.
something. That hasn't really happened yet, but I haven't given up on it, and we were close at one point where I think at least someone told me that Who Says You Can't Go Home Bon Jovi, that this company was thinking of using our song, and of course they went with that. So
I have a contact for you. I'm interrupting you now. I told you to interrupt me, and I'm interrupting you now. the conversationalists out there and the English majors and people that are into, you know, all that are going to be horrified by me and my lack of whatever it is. I can't think of the word right now, but I never give up on that on that song, and never give up on promoting it, because it's ageless. There's no limit to a song like that. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of song. Oh, wait a minute. Now I shouldn't have done this disclaimer, because you talk as much as I do. Okay, go ahead. This is great. I can't get a word in edgewise.
Grew up as an artist, but, you know, and then the music took over. You know, I try to, you know, have quality and depth to my work. And, you know, I, you know, looking from the outside, if you're not from New Jersey, or even if you are from Jersey, you might not care. But, you know, there's not really that much to it, except it just mentions places of the Jersey Shore. And it's, you know, I guess it has the catchy verse that easy to sing to, you know, as far as a deep song,
yeah.
though.
Well, the chorus gets to me, too. The chorus is so phenomenal. And it's a song that you go away from it, and you can't get it out of your head. It just stays there and stays there.
That was the idea, you know, the psychological
aspect. Of course,
aspect.
That is the idea. Of any
you know, having
hit
that sort of, you know, sedation or just the marketing of the, you know, having it ringing in your head, you know, or making you maybe want to go to the Jersey Shore, maybe. But I guess Asbury Park's down the Jersey Shore, and I've run into this where people who are already at the Jersey Shore, it's like, hey, we're already here. We don't need to hear a song anymore about the Jersey Shore. So maybe it works better if you're not from the Jersey Shore to enjoy that song more.
Well, no. I grew up in Asbury Park, okay? And
yeah.
I love that song, and the thing is, when you're singing
you're
that
awesome.
Song, it doesn't matter if you're saying, gotta get down, because you're almost saying to other people, you gotta get down to the Jersey Shore. I mean, you're being proud of the Jersey Shore, that you're there, and that there's so many great things, and it's a place to go, and it has been a place to go for centuries and centuries and centuries, when they even just had ships, and people came from other countries on ships, the Jersey Shore, and Long Branch, and New York, but even the Jersey Shore, I think, was a more popular vacation spot than anywhere in the world, and a lot of people don't know the history about the Jersey Shore. So, without further ado, you can go.
History,
anybody
yeah.
can go on Google and or go to the Asbury Park Press. Go on my. I just had my friend Chris Johnson on. He's the features and entertainment writer for the Asbury Park Press, and I went into their archives for my new banner, which I was so pleased because I didn't do a new banner or a new profile photo on my Nancy Ryan page for 4 years. And I see all these people changing everything, and I thought, you know what, I'm kind of think I'm going to take my CD off of there, Ryan Rocks, and I had taken a beautiful picture of Convention Hall in color, and you'll have to go and see it when you get a moment. I know how busy you are, but it's all in gray, and the picture Sherry took at Gilmore at Sawa.
It's
beautiful because it's – and Eddie Testa was up. He came up with his wife, Carmen, and some other people. And I go, wow, that's a darn good picture of you because I'm having a birthday next month, and I'm getting up there, Mike, really getting up there. And I said, wow, you look really good in that picture because it's black and white and it's not that close, and you look – so I used it. And then I said, well, I have to have Convention Hall. So I went to the archives of the Asbury Park Press, and there was no author on it. And it's the back side. It's not the front on the Wonder Bar side. It's the back. And it's where I actually just did a documentary with people that came in from Italy to do they invited me to do it, and I was so pleased because they interviewed me, and then they interviewed Danny Clinch, and it's a documentary about Bruce Springsteen and his fans. Yep, getting back to you. Look, I have some great contacts for you, and we'll discuss them after the show, the personal contacts that I have for you as far as your music and this song is concerned. Oh, this is a great contact, so I don't want to mention his name publicly, but I'll talk to you about that. Remind me when we get off, we'll hang up, and then I will call you back, or you call me back. I'll call you back, and I'll give you his name and his contact information, and I'll send an intro letter to him so that when you contact him, he'll know who you are. It would be a great song for this organization. Perfect.
Sure,
perfect.
Yeah, that's good to me.
So, Yes, and I love it that you're out there. I see you out in New York. I see you out where the shows are with your guitar. You know, that's what you have to do, and I've been telling you this for how long? And then even at Martell's when I saw you years ago now,
right.
3 years ago probably, I said, you got it. You got everything that is required. You have the looks. You have the personality. You have the talent. You have the energy. You know, so you just have to keep going, and then one day, you know, the miracle will happen. You know, you just have to, and it's not even in the destination. I have learned in my words of wisdom of going to be 69 years old in December, is that it's the journey, and you're living your dream. And oh, I know, I didn't even ask you. I mean, my show's about childhood memories, so I do have to ask you this question, okay, and how they influenced you to becoming the wonderful guy you are today. Who influenced you the most when you were growing up, and why?
Oh, with music. Are you talking with music? Yeah. When I went to a summer camp, there's a guy who played guitar at Campfire, and he's from Massachusetts. His name is Brad Hammer, and he actually he played Bruce songs. I had no idea who Bruce was, really. I didn't really put the two things together, that the songs he were playing, Bruce Springsteen songs, he was playing, you know, Bruce, like, Growing Up and For You, and I just thought these were songs the guy played, and then sure enough, I realized they're Bruce Springsteen songs, and so it's the whole... As far as, you know, I guess...
That was your influence, yeah.
The comparison, you know, as far as sometimes, you know, with the look and all that stuff, came after. So it's just kind of a weird coincidence type of thing. And so I would say that he was very strong as far as me wanting to... There have been several times where I wanted to pick up the guitar, but that, mm-hmm. yeah, that guy, Brad, his name's Brad Hammer, he definitely... inspired me to take this journey in music.
Right. Now, who's the sweet little pooch? I'm not sure if other people hear her in the background, but let's introduce
Puffy.
Her.
Yeah, Puffy.
We'll introduce Puffy as a member of our team tonight. So if you hear Puffy in the background, she's a sweet little, what kind of a dog do you have?
She's a yellow lab, and and her brother Sloppy Joe. And they're two 10-year-old yellow Labradors, and they are they're my best friends. They're amazing.
Oh, of course.
And, actually, I do as a side. I haven't really done much with it, but I had to do a whole album for them under, and it's become kid songs too, called Mr. Puppy Man. And,
oh, that's great.
She has her song Puffy. It actually was picked up and used in a short French film. With kind of a horror movie type of thing, where a dog, crazy story where the dog is not alive in the apartment.
Like
put it
Cujo?
In the,
like Cujo?
And she wakes up, and at the end of the credits, you hear the song Puffy. And which, by the way, her tail thumping in there. You can hear her tail. I'm getting a little bit far off in the outer space with this, but yeah.
That's okay. That we all love. I mean, I love animals. I just signed up to be a volunteer at the SPCA.
I am a vegetarian. For a while, I was just pescatarian, but now I am full out vegetarian. Except I'm not a vegan. I do have, you know, dairy, but I do love animals. I do. I really do.
Me too. Me too. I'm a total animal freak, but I just adore them. And I mean, I have had, you know, a guinea pig for 8 years.
Nice.
She lived to her full life expectancy, and boy, did she get big. She was a lot of work. They're a lot of work. You have to clean that cage every single day, and they really shed a lot. A lot of people don't know about them, but they shed a lot, so you have to groom them. I would put her on my chest, and if I called somebody, I would be talking to you, and she would be going, wee, 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 wee. And the minute I would stop talking, she would stop talking, and then I would start, and she would start again. It was hysterical. And I'd let her out in my bathtub, and I would put a ball in there, and she would go crazy. She would push that ball around. I mean, animals are so smart. Even like a rodent, they go, that's a rodent. You have a rodent? You're weird. I go, no. She's adorable. Look at her, how cute she is. And she was like an Abyssinian guinea pig and a redhead like me. and she had all those cowlicks. So she had a big on the top of her head, a big like a mohawk stood up. She was so cute. I have pictures of her, but she's passed away a long time ago. But I had a green cheek conure for 22 years, and he just passed away 7 months ago. And so he was my companion. They're the smallest parrot in the world. And then I have rescue cats. I have one left. One died when she was 12 and a half, and now my other girl, who's still alive, is 15. And I love dogs, too, but I just don't happen to have a dog. But if I had a farm, forget it. I would have every stray animal. I'd be like Debbie DeLisa. I would be going out. I would be picking up all the animals, and God bless her. But getting back to you, we're getting off point. Getting back to you, Mike, I wanted to mention, and I did put it in the promo, and I know that it's an ongoing project of yours, but I put down that you are the creator of Lick Animal Abuse Away. And so you do have people can go to that and they can donate to that. And I guess you're in the midst of writing some songs for a CD for this. Oh, I wanted to ask you too, because you mentioned children's songs. You definitely know Mr. Anderson. They call him Mr. Anderson. You do know him, right?
Ooh, I don't.
Ray Anderson. He'd be another. He's a fellow musician. He's a fellow musician, and he plays McLoons a lot, and he writes children's music. Now, he used to play all different kinds of music, but he got very involved, and he writes now CDs. I had him on my show last year. It's got to be a year by now, and he does the anti-bullying. He writes music about bullying, and he's a fantastic artist. He's on Facebook. His name is Ray Anderson. He might be a really good guy for you to talk to about as far as you doing your Animal Abuse Away, Lick Animal Abuse Away. I love that title. Very catchy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so we got to talk. Oh, my God, I feel like Joan Rivers. We got to talk. in the past year, I feel like just a researcher of every talent and every person that's involved in the arts in the state of New Jersey, but that's actually what I've been doing. I came back from San Diego to take care of my mom. I was there for like 28 glorious years right in San Diego on the ocean, 25 miles from Tijuana, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
From Mexico, rather. And like I said, I grew up in Asbury. I went to school with Vinny Lopez, and I went to school with Danny DeVito, and it was pretty cool. It wasn't pretty cool. It was very cool growing up in Asbury, and I'm writing a book, so that it's going to be a tell-all.
Vinny's the best. Vinny's awesome.
Yes, he is an awesome guy. And but I wanted to ask you, you said you were a teacher, and so I wanted to find out, because I did not know that, and so I want to find out what you teach and what age group and things like that. Because people want to know.
But this year, sixth grade, which is in an elementary school, and that's it's definitely a challenging age.
Wow, Mike, I'm surprised. They must love you, the kids.
I'd like to think that. Some do, I hope, you know.
I bet you have to put a different hat on.
I bring my music to the classroom, and the one song that's going to be on this upcoming album, which I do have mostly recorded already, that one's pretty much done, is the Dreaming of a Better World song, where the kids actually today in class, the kids were singing along. That one I'm trying to get, maybe one semi-famous or famous person, and then maybe more, to really do something to help, an organization maybe, and to help to really possibly get to change people's views, to really want to change the world maybe. And
That's
my Jersey Shore song for the world, and it's Dreaming of a Better World, and it's on the this upcoming CD, which hopefully I'll get done, maybe by next summer, hopefully. And so that's something that where I bring my music into the classroom, because I teach social studies and something that I just, I think a lot of musicians are able to like Bruce and some of the other, just that are able to pick out the basics of political science and history, and understand more than most politicians do, and you know, most people are, where I think it's a big problem in our world where most people just don't understand the basics of history, and that's why it keeps, you know, as they say, repeating itself.
Repeating itself, right?
So that's why that's somewhere where I take my music too, and it actually inspires some of my music. I for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe it was the Dalai Lama who said, I think it was, I'm not positive though, be the change that you want to see in the world. And I think it's an individual, every single person has to make a conscious decision. And I think too that musicians on the whole, and this is all, anything that I say on the radio is of course my own opinion and only my own opinion. But I believe that any creative types, not that nobody else cannot be sensitive, but I think that we are more introspective and a little bit more sensitive types than, say, an engineer. Oh, no, nothing against my ex-husband. No, that was an engineer. But, no, I really do believe that people in the arts, I think they're just more, for some reason, they're a little bit deeper, and maybe that's stereotyping, maybe that's categorizing or putting people in a box, but I don't know why. It's just the way I feel in my heart, and maybe I'm wrong. Somebody could maybe call me up. Maybe I'm getting too controversial now. I usually don't talk like anything like this, but I'm talking to you, and I know the kind of person you are. I even put it. It just flew out of my mind onto the keys of my typewriter, of my laptop, because I don't think about my promo. I just start it. You know, I might do a little research, a little bit, on somebody that I don't know that well, but I feel like if I know someone or I know and have seen you around so long, it just came out, and I said that you're very humble and that you greet everyone with a big smile, and that's just the kind of guy that you are, and you just exude that type of caring. You exude that type of caring. I mean, I have actually introduced myself to people and have gotten such rudeness in return. And I'm a really kind of happy, outgoing, like, you know, I would just go, oh, hi, my name is Nancy, you know, at an event. Oh, hi, my name is Nancy Ryan, blah, blah, blah. And I would get the worst, like, response, and their head up and the nose up in the air, and I think, what the heck? Of course, that's their only chance with me, but there are people like that, and I don't get it, but we need to get rid of that. We are all on this planet. You know, we're all here, we are all equally endowed and have the right for, you know, I feel like, well, I just came back from Washington, D.C., and I spent time with my niece, who is going to be an attorney and who is a total activist of any, of, you know, environmentalist and animal activist, the whole thing, you got it. And I am too, as well. But I just never really talked about it too much.
Yeah, me as well.
Because it is, like, it's controversial. So I did a thing, and I'm waiting to put it on a laptop on my it's an article, and of course my niece, who spent even time in college in Egypt, and she's a Irish Saudi Arabian, and she may say, Aunt Nancy, why did you say that? We're all the same. And I always say that. I don't care if you're white, black, purple, green,
yeah,
orange, yellow. But sometimes, yeah, I try to explain to her, because we had a mini discussion about it. I said, well, sometimes if you're telling a story, which I am a storyteller, I blame it on my Irish heritage. I'm Irish German. But I said sometimes it's necessary, or it helps you to get the story. You know, it's not like I'm, you know, there's nothing negative about it. So erase that from your mind. And then I said, honey, I love you so much. She's 26 and she's a college graduate. Now she's doing her paralegal and going for her master's. You know, she's going to become an attorney. But I said, okay, let's just agree not to discuss politics or religion, because, you know, that's when people get in arguments. And why? I don't know. Because let's just say, unless you're doing some really evil things, let's just respect each other's opinions. I mean, what happened to that word, respect? What about, what happened to that word? It's not, it should be taken out of our dictionary. And freedom of speech.
Right.
Oh, let's not go there. Mike, your music, I love it when you get on stage. I'm really taking myself right.
Because
we could talk forever. We could talk forever. You get on the stage And I know you
when
play.
When I'm not on the stage, I don't know what to do, but when I'm on the stage, I feel like it's okay to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, you know what I'm imagining as you? And I'm the same way. I'm kind of like, was very kind of growing up, believe it or not, I really was quiet. Well, I wasn't quiet in school. I was always getting used for misconduct because I was talking too much, like I still do. But I think it was a nervous reaction to life and people. I had this, like, I was from a huge Irish Catholic family, but I did have a little bit of a fear of other people. And maybe it was almost like a good thing in a way. But I've been, when you told me that you were a teacher and of sixth grade children and social studies, I see you, I can almost envision you as getting ready to go to school, going to school and putting a different hat in before you walk into the classroom. And I put down that you were an actor because you did say that you did some acting. And I can just imagine, I think all of us that are in the music business are actors because we get on that stage and, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some people, maybe Eric Clapton isn't an actor because he just stands there. That's what I say about my brother, Billy Ryan, stands there and plays this outrageous guitar, you know, and things he wants to
do. I think there's a link, the acting and the just talent, the word talent, I think is just the artist where the, and just being the artist is just one, you know, just being able to allow yourself to just, you don't care if you totally
right.
fall flat on your face in front of a bunch of people watching type of thing, where that's
right.
really what talent is. It's just willing to let yourself go, whether you're an actor or an artist or a singer or whatever. I think it's just that part of the conscience where you just, you know, you're not trapping yourself, whereas a lot of people just won't ever step outside that line. And I think that's what it is, that what we call
right.
talent. And,
exactly. Yeah, it's like
unfortunately, when you hit first or second grade, that teacher or someone who says, you can't draw, you can't sing, you can't do that, and then it just sticks with a lot of people, unfortunately. And I think that a lot of us, so many of us can, you know, do those instruments, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then just people sometimes just decide to choose, oh, I can't play an instrument, I can't do anything musical,
right,
I don't have
right.
to.
Well, reminded me of, like, I was only in first grade. I was in first grade. I went to, like I said, parochial school, and you just brought that up and how an incident, if someone said to you, you can't when you're young, it's so detrimental. It's such a horrible thing to do to a child, and adults don't realize how impressionable that young children are, especially
mm-hmm.
before the age of seven. At seven, kids start to get a little bit more individuality and maybe a little bit more of maybe they're not going to take it or they're going to not say, oh, that's to themselves. They'll say, it depends on how they grew up. But I remember I could not see very well at all. I mean, I needed glasses from really young, and they didn't know it. And I was also a chatterbox and wanted to talk, and I hated school. It was so boring to me. I don't know. I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be exploring the world. I wanted to be doing things, running and going to the beach and doing everything. But anyway, I had a nun that said in front of me to my mother, well, you know, Mrs. Ryan, Nancy is a bit of a feather brain.
Oh.
I will never forget that. I will never forget that. And for the rest of my education, I became, not at that age, but later on, I just became a total rebel. I mean, I just said, well, I'll show them. I mean, in a way, I guess it did work out well for me because I said, nobody's going to say that about me. And then I was a bullied kid. Like, that's why I loved having, they call him Mr. Ray, but Ray Anderson, I loved having Ray Anderson on my show because I could really relate to that. And so many kids are bullied. It doesn't matter. People, there are just bullies out there. You can't avoid them. They're like, you know, the cold, the common cold. They just will come across your path one way or the other at some time in your life. And if they don't, you're lucky. Consider yourself blessed. But I remember being called, when I did get my glasses, being called Four Eyes, and I'd stand on the corner. One side of the corner was the parochial school kids, and on the other side was the public school kids. And the public school kids, like, I'd be out there when it was raining. My mother, she had the audacity, no, bless you, Mom, to put, you know, I had the umbrella, I had the raincoat, the rain hat, the rubbers, they called them galoshes on. And they'd call me, like, you know, they would always tease me. Well, I just showed them because I'm a singer. Oh, here I go. Here I go, folks. Singer, songwriter, guitar player, executive record producer, host of my own live talk radio show, and now photographer. Thank you, Jersey Shore photographers. But and I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm writing a book. I did a documentary. I've been asked to do another documentary just by myself. Awesome. So it's like, it doesn't matter even your age. It's like I have had the last 4 years of my life have been the best. And
that's
so
awesome.
You are young and you have such talent and charisma and that you just keep going, and you keep going and knocking on that door. Like they say, even with God, you knock on the door and it will be open for you. And I truly believe that and I don't tell people this, so anybody else that's been on my show, get mad at me if you like, but I said to Mike at the Martells, I told him, I said, you got it. You got what it takes.
You've made my day, and I really appreciate it because, it goes up and down and you hit that wall sometimes and, But, yeah.
I know.
Really,
like, why am I doing this? Why? I've got a song number 2 on Reverb Nation.
Each day is a new day. It's all about, all about the right time and the right place is so important, for other musicians. Not that I have an authority because I haven't even had my first hit yet, but I think that for what it's worth that, just being at the right place and the right time and just having the one tune is all you need to get in there.
That's
right.
Persistence. You just have to keep going. Well, I'm going to, we're going to have to say goodbye already. And of course I used to do hour shows in Trenton, but now I only do a half an hour and I may up it, but if I up it, of course it's going to be money out of my pocket. If I get some sponsors, but I'm so at this age now, Mike, I've been retired and I only do 2 shows a month. And now I have like 100 business cards of people that want to come on my show. And I get people calling me, can you, like Willie Nile calls me up, hey, Nancy, I'm leaving for Spain. Can you do a show before, I wanted him on my show for like 4 years. And he lives in New York, and he's not going to drive 2 hours to Trenton and 2 hours back. So he always wanted to come on. He just couldn't, it was too far, and he's too busy. And so the minute that he found out I had the radio, and that's what's happening to me now, I'm being inundated because I put it out there. I am doing shows via the telephone, and everyone wants to be on my show, and I'm thrilled. But I don't want to do, I did 7 hours promotion for you. I did the first 4 before, and now I'm going to do like 3 afterwards almost, of putting this on everyone's timeline. This goes worldwide, and all they have to do is click. And this is what I love, because when I go, I know just for me, when they tell me, go to this site or go to that site, people have become very lazy with technology today. But if I can see it and click it, I'll click it.
Right.
And give it a chance. And a lot of times, give peace a chance. That just came to my mind. Especially all we are saying, give peace a chance, John Lennon, because the Beatles, because of what has happened. And I'm glad we didn't get into that. But I want to end the show on that note of people, please. This isn't just about France. This is world. This is about our world, and this is about we have to pray. We have to unite. I think we should be doing universal prayer circles. Like when I was in California, I did the whole trip of California from metaphysics, and I'm Catholic, but I worked in a Presbyterian church for 6 years. I did volunteer with the Franciscan monks for 5 years. It was the most rewarding 5 years of my life. The monks, the Franciscan monks are awesome. It was in a over 200-year-old church that had been built, that is all along the Southern California, coastline. They came from Mexico and just went all the way up north and started building these churches. So anyway, we're way over. We could talk forever, but I am so happy. I have to stop myself. I just have to stop myself because, it's over time, and I have like 6 nonprofits that I need to promote they have all been on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to thank you so much. You don't have to stay on and listen to them. And I'm going to put them in, I think, in a separate news feed, because the last few shows I've done, I've gone way over, and then I didn't get a chance to name them, and they're all close to my heart. So I need to do that. But, Mike, thank you so much for finally coming on my show. Go ahead, though, and take a few minutes to promote anything else that we didn't get a chance to talk about that comes to your mind as far as shows or, you know, how to go fund you and how to, you know, what your dream is and who you need to help you do that. I think that would be real important.
Sure, Nancy, thanks so much again. Yeah, well, the new album we're working on, you know, about 3 songs done at this point with, you know, 6, 7, 8 to go. That's GoFundMe.com/LovePets, and that's the Lick Animal Abuse Away project that I'm trying to get people to get dog kisses from your dogs and have your challenge your friends to get kisses, or cats or whatever animal you have.
Right.
And but at the same time for the album, if they make the donation to our album project, you know, 10% will go to the ASPCA to stop animal abuse, Lick Animal Abuse Away, LAAA. And so I want to thank all the people so far who've helped me over the last year or so, and we're getting closer. And so far, $150 about has been sent to the ASPCA for that. And one of the songs on there, speaking of the world, is Dreaming of a Better World, which I'm hoping to do really big things with. I'm hoping to just get that first celebrity on. And once I do that, then, you know, we'll get a bunch of others maybe, and we'll do
right.
it for very special charity or charities. And, you know, MikeRocket.com and at MikeRocketMusic on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And the show coming up next Sunday or the Sunday after Thanksgiving, Prohibition, New York City on the 29th of November. And we're waiting on maybe another date at B.B. King's and the Hard Rock Atlantic City. And,
wonderful.
Hopefully we return to Light of Day in January. I usually play there, and that's always a blast to be part of.
Right.
You know, keep in touch, and that's maybe I'll see you there at Light of Day if we're playing or if not. And
hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Last year
so,
I didn't go because
yeah,
it was.
That's always just a thrill to be part of. You know, Bob Benjamin and the Parkinson's just
right.
celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, my mother had Parkinson's disease, but luckily she got
it
very late.
Okay,
No, my mother passed away 4.5 years ago, but she luckily she got it very, very late in life. And the really only thing that she suffered from was like occasional like the dementia and I think some depression. And other than that, she didn't, like I said, she got it so late in life. They thought she had Alzheimer's and then they did further studies and further tests rather and found out that it was indeed Parkinson's early stage onset Parkinson's, which is she was very lucky that she didn't have to live through that. My mother died of pneumonia. She probably would have lived to be over 100 years old, but she died of pneumonia. And it's okay because she was done with life. She was very active, and when she couldn't be active anymore, it was very difficult on her and depressing for her. She was going to be 87 years old, so, and my dad had passed away early at 73. So, but we've got to go, Mike. We could talk forever. I do want to. I'm going to call you back after I get off the air because I do have a few people of that. Or you know what I'll do? I'll save you the time. Go relax. I'll private text you the contacts that I wanted to give you, and you can just, and I'll also get in touch with, you know, with my friend and whoever I am going to give you, I'll let them know, you know, that they'll be hearing from you.
Oh,
and hopefully
thank you
make
so
them
much,
happy.
Nancy, really great
and listen, keep me in touch.
Being on your
I always tell my friends, keep me in mind if you want them back. I'm looking really good for my age. I can sing. My song is number 2 on Reverb Nation Indecision for 3.5 consecutive years. Go on Reverb and see where my number 2. It's 2 twice.
Oh, for sure.
The minute it goes a little bit below, when it goes down to like 4 or 5, I get on there and I send it out on Twitter, LinkedIn again. I send it everywhere. I put it on pages, and then it just goes right up again. So I'm number 2, and I said, I just want to be number 1 once. And then I said, wait a minute, why can't it be number 1? John Harrington, who's lead guitarist with Steely Dan, he was my guitar player. Hello? And Jeff Levine, who was with Hall & Oates, he was my engineer.
A couple months ago that he was on your show.
Yeah, you know what? He was supposed to be, but he had, unfortunately, there was a tragedy. And then I called my friend, Matt. I texted Matt O'Ree and Aaron, and I said, because I wanted Matt on when he came off tour with Don Jovi.
Oh, yeah,
but Matt couldn't do it.
He played with us a few years ago, B.B. King's, and that was a real blast having him jam with.
Well, listen, I was on there. I think they ended my episode. So it said, they're telling me end episode. So I have to. But Matt, hopefully, I heard from his, he's got, you know, a promoter now and producers and things. So he's going to be on in January, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. But they sent me, which was so wonderful. I'm down to the wire. I'm going to start my show any minute, and I don't have anybody. And I said, well, I'll do a solo show. I've done that before, Lord knows. And so it popped up, and who was it? And I just promoted him with a beautiful, gorgeous picture of him, Eric Safka, and he's the keyboard player.
Eric's also played with me a bunch of times. Great keyboardist and great guy,
and
really the best.
Yeah, wonderful guy, and I just his photograph was taken by a really fabulous woman. Estelle is her name. I think it's Cuckoo Photography. And so I'm looking forward to meeting her because what a great photograph she took of him. And I used it in my promotion. I always ask permission unless I know people. In fact, it's the first time I really asked, I think, can I use it? Because normally I just go and use them because it's promotion for the photographers. I love you, Mike.
Thanks so much, Nancy. And,
I wish you
really
the best.
Being on your
My
show.
Mother
Thank
was
you so
from Germantown, Pennsylvania, so we have a connection there.
Nice.
All right, honey, listen, you go ahead. I'll send you those connections. And thank you so much for being a guest on Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. It was a real blast.
Thanks for having me on Ryan Rocks, and I really appreciate it, Nancy. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and keep me abreast of what's going on with you, and if I can help you. And also, like I said, feel free to promote if you want to. Just throw it on my Nancy Ryan page. I have 3 Facebook pages, so just put it on my Nancy Ryan page. And, of course, this will be going out worldwide later tonight, so everywhere. And as well on 10 Bruce Springsteen pages.
We've got to get to the Jersey Shore, find what we're looking for.
Exactly. All right, honey. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.